You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Well, I was out on a drive, on a bit of a trip. Looking for thrills to get me some kicks. I was born with a stiff upper lip. Lock it down.
Good morning, football fans. Coming to you right from the cave. This is Teddy the Bear Tate. Alongside of me, he's back. He's better than ever. It's Dallas. Big D. Duquo.
Woo! Back. I am back. Guys, I've been away for a while.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of stuff going on.
That's right.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I'm back.
You got to be back.
And I am ready to run up into some people's pads, Ted.
Yeah.
I am tired of seeing these people not commenting, liking, sharing things on Facebook and social media.
It's
when
true.
We are everywhere.
We are
Spotify,
everywhere.
Google Play, and soon to be iHeartRadio. There is no excuses anymore. We will find you.
Right. I mean, you can't miss us, guys. So, I mean, if you guys haven't already liked and shared the Facebook Live page, please do that. Follow us on Twitter. Guys, if you didn't catch yesterday, you're missing out. I, myself, the Bear, got exclusives with former Ohio State players and some current NFL players. But we had James Cotton, Jeff Green, Caton Mitchell, Eli Apple.
Yep.
We Chase Ferris, that was the other one. And again, guys, much respect to them and much love to them, taking the time out of their day and doing interviews with us. And they're on our Facebook page. I do want to apologize right away to Chase Ferris. For some reason, Facebook Live decided to give us peach faces. But I had the GoPro going on there. So
that's because he was a peach.
Yeah, I mean, he was so good. But so I'm going to try to get the GoPro video up and ready to rock. That way we don't see that anymore. But anyways, just a lot of just want to say thanks and really appreciate all those guys doing that for us. And the Green Speed Academy, it was something to watch. They did a good job with the kids. The kids were having fun. They were getting worked, learning the fundamentals of football and all the basics. So I enjoyed watching that as well. Anyways, guys, it is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the dads, including who is on the line with us. And that would be Awesome Austin Thomas. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning to you, and happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers out there.
Thank you. Yes.
You know what, Ted?
Yeah.
You mentioned the peach faces. I think you guys look so cute and adorable. I don't know why you'd
want
to replace
goodness.
That.
Yeah, we'll
just
replace it.
Just keep that.
We'll replace it.
That's a straight football classic right there.
Yeah, that's a good blooper.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I did enjoy it. Chase was really cool too. You could tell he was having kind of a lot of fun with it. He was smiling a lot. So, anyways, guys. So, with that being said, we want all the new listeners, because we do have new listeners. We want them to know that this is a non-biased, no BS filter. We don't talk about politics on here. We keep it about football, NFL football, that is. We also don't allow any profanity, guys. But we do want the listeners to be a part of the conversation. So please call 718-508-9883. And be part of the conversation. Ask us any football questions you have. Again, guys, this is going to be a short show today. Really just NFL buzz and NFL draft grades. But let's kick the NFL buzz off, Big D. Now, NFL buzz. You okay with the nostalgia there, Big D?
I am.
You're right now.
I'm all right with the nostalgia.
You kind of just let that go for a little bit.
I had to let it happen.
It's all right. First off, Austin, I want you to comment on this, too, right after I mention this one. The Dallas Cowboys are closing on a 6-year extension with offensive guard Zach Martin to make him the highest-paid guard and the most guaranteed money in NFL history. Austin, is that a done deal?
It is a done deal. I'm actually going through my notes right now and see if I can find the actual total. But, yeah, he is the highest-paid center in the league, the most guarantees. I think I actually put it on our Facebook page. That was like Wednesday or Thursday, so it's going to be far back here. But, yeah, he's going to be making a pretty good money.
All right, sounds great. The Oakland Raiders have signed defensive lineman Atiba Rubin.
This is a good signing for the Raiders. Their defensive line was very poor a season ago. Their defense just poor in general.
Right.
Veteran leadership from Ruben. He's been on some actually pretty good defenses.
Right.
He was part of that very aggressive Bengals defense not too long ago. So
right.
This can add a little bit of not only depth to the defensive line, but maybe some of that aggressiveness and tenacity that they've been missing.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is, you know, he's been around the league for a while. He's a veteran, and I like how you bring up the veteran leadership. But at the same time, like you said, the Oakland Raiders need a D-tackle. They need some defensive linemen to help get after the quarterback. I mean, they've got some prolific quarterbacks in the division right now, and I think this is a good signing. It's a good veteran signing for the Raiders. Austin, have you heard anything else, anything from Raiders Nation?
You know, he's a solid veteran. He's been around the league. He's been with the Browns. He's been with the Seahawks. He's been with, another team I can't think of. But, you know, this is a solid veteran signing. And we've seen the Raiders be aggressive in signing defensive linemen this offseason. You know, Khalil Mack, mm-hmm. he's holding out right now. So that hurts them definitely. So they need some other pieces around him in case he either doesn't come back or to show Mack, hey, if you're not committed to us, we're going to go out and we're going to get guys that are committed to our team. So there is that.
Yeah.
And I did find the Zach Martin thing. It was a 6-year deal worth $84 million, $40 million guaranteed.
Woo!
A lot of money.
That's a lot of dough.
That is.
Speaking of the Oakland Raiders, though, signing defensive linemen, they have also signed Frosty Rucker to a 1-year deal. Another solid veteran, Big
yep.
D.
Yep.
Absolutely.
A nice, solid big part of that Arizona defense.
Yeah.
A couple of seasons ago, they were pretty solid, pretty stout defensive pass rush. So the Raiders not playing around. They're trying to get they're trying to get more competitive in their division. They have their work cut out for them with the quarterbacks in their division. But also,
yeah.
They've got to deal with a couple of prolific running backs too. That's true.
Now, we're staying with the Oakland Raiders here, guys. Listen, the Oakland Raiders have also waived quarterback Christian Hackenberg. They just traded for him recently. Awesome, Austin. What is going on here? Have you heard any of the rumblings going on in the situation?
Well, Gruden actually commented on this, and he was complaining about the whole CBA and everything because teams don't have time to develop quarterbacks. And he just thought Hackenberg was too far along and he wasn't really coachable because he's been with the Jets for so long and he couldn't, you know, learn at the speed that was desired by Gruden. You know, Gruden liked him coming out of college, but he just thought, you know, we don't have enough time to develop these guys. And, you know, he's got Derek Carr. He's got some other good quarterbacks on the roster. He just didn't feel like he had the space or the time to really blossom Hackenberg into a good quarterback.
So pretty much Gruden has come out and said that the Jets ruined Christian Hackenberg.
In a way, yes.
I guess one might say he views Christian Hackenberg as a hack.
A hack. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyways. Next up, guys, we're moving away from the Oakland Raiders now. The New Orleans Saints have signed veteran running back Terrence West. Guys, obviously this is going to be in the wake of finding out Mark Ingram being suspended for 4 games. You know, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram were arguably one of the best running back duos we've ever seen in the NFL, and Ingram's going to be out for 4 games, so now they bring in Terrence West, like I said, a veteran running back, trying to do the, you know, if Alvin Kamara needs a Gatorade break, he can get one.
Well, not only that, they both similar play styles. Terrence West is a little bit more runner than Kamara is, but he's still a pass-catching running back.
It's true. Austin, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid pickup. You know, Terrence West, he was good with the Ravens not too long ago, and, you know, he beat out a bunch of running backs. There was, you know, 4 or 5 veterans that came to the competition for the Saints. You know, the Saints invited DeMarco Murray to come, but from what I heard, DeMarco Murray wanted his own single tryout. He didn't want any competition. He just wanted to pretty much a single tryout and then get the job. So I guess he didn't want the competition aspect. So he just the Saints said, you know what, we'll pass on that. And Terrence West just won the competition, and here we are. But it's a very solid pickup.
Oh yeah, I love it. The New York Jets have signed defensive lineman Courtney Upshaw. Now, Courtney Upshaw, as you know, was a fixture on the Ravens' defense. He helped the Falcons get to Super Bowl 51. Obviously, a good veteran defensive player. I got to say here, I like what the Jets did here. I'm very familiar with Courtney Upshaw. I'm liking what I've seen out of the Jets out of this. Big D.
Jets really hit this one out of the park. You look at their division right now. Their division's in a state of flux. Yes, the Patriots are still the Patriots, but the Bills. We don't know what they're going to be like.
Unknown commodity.
They're an unknown commodity. And you look at the Dolphins, they may not be they may not be as good as they were last year,
right,
the way that they're looking. So you look at the Jets. This is a solid pick for them, but it's just yet another good decision by this front office to see what they can do to push this team forward just a little bit more.
Right.
Remember that they were only within a play of beating the New England Patriots a season ago.
Sure.
And that's the top team in their division. So, you know, they were competitive in all their games last year, despite the fact that they were considered to be, you know, the bottom feeder of that division.
Right.
And they still surpassed expectations. Yes, they didn't have a dream season, but they were one of the more compelling storylines a season ago for the fact that they were so competitive. They were in so many tough games. So,
yeah,
this could be one of those pickups that puts them over the mark.
Right. Now, Austin, this next one here, I want you to comment on this. The Houston Texans have extended linebacker Bernard McKinney. Can you tell us what that deal is?
Oh, man. The money?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I go through my notes again. It's on the Facebook page, guys. I do apologize. I'm looking. But, yeah, I mean, this is a good deal for the Texans. He's one of their more premier linebackers. He's definitely going to be a great duo for he's still fairly young, but he's going to be a leader for that team. Pairing him up with J.J. Watt, Clowney, and all the other talented pass rushers on that team, I mean, guys, watch out for this Houston team this season, especially with Deshaun Watson coming back from injury. You know, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins are going to be back full force.
Right.
I cannot find the money deal.
I got to agree with you, Austin. McKinney, he's one of the younger players on this defense, one of the younger – I don't want to call him a star just yet, but one of the younger studs on this defense. And really, pairing him up with, Whitney Mercilus and, like you said, Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, this Texans defense is getting more and more weapons. They moved on from – I can't think for the life of me his name now off the top of my head. Oh, my God. Drawing a blank, the linebacker Brian Cushing, yeah. So, you know, they got rid of him, and they're moving forward with Kenny here. Makes a ton of sense. McKinney is definitely worth the money he's getting, I'm sure. And like Austin also said, Big D, Deshaun Watson's coming back. They're going to have DeAndre Hopkins fully healthy. Will Fuller will be healthy. Braxton Miller will be healthy. I mean, this team looks like it's going to be competing this year. What do you expect out of the Texans?
You know, once again, the Texans – they were one of the more exciting teams a season ago, despite their struggles. But, you know, you look at the season they had last year, injury after injury after injury. They just could not catch a break. They're finally going to have a season where they get to start out relatively healthy. I'm expecting them to be very competitive this season. But one of the things that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on is how competitive their division is as a whole.
Right.
Because as far as their division is, the AFC South has quickly become one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL right now.
Yes.
You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fell just a game short of being in the AFC title game. Being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I apologize. But falling a game short of being in the Super Bowl with a pretty relatively young roster.
Right.
Then you look at the Tennessee Titans, who they won their first playoff game in
years.
The Colts are starting to put some pieces on the field now.
Yeah.
They're starting to look a little bit better.
Andrew Luck could be back.
Andrew Luck potentially could be back, and that changes the whole dynamic of what's going on in that division.
Oh, yeah.
The AFC South is going to be the division to watch this year as far as competitive games. Every single one of those games between division rivals is going to mean something this season. Don't be surprised if we see two AFC South teams in the playoffs this season.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised either.
Okay.
Were you able to find the contract?
It was a five-year deal, or five-year extension worth $50 million with 21 guaranteed.
$15 million, 21 guaranteed. That's a nice healthy contract.
Yeah, it is.
Next up, the Cleveland Browns offensive lineman Donald Stevenson has been suspended for the first two games of the season for violating the league's policy and program for substance use.
Nothing more to say about that, Ted.
Just giving him the dough.
We're going to move
forward.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys defensive end David Irving has been suspended the first four games for violating PED policy yet again.
Go! Not only does this guy get a dough, the Dallas Cowboys organization gets a dough.
Go!
I am so sick of the Cowboys players in trouble all the time. It seems like all last season that's all we had was Cowboys in trouble. Cowboys in trouble. And you wonder why you can't win no football games.
Right.
You can't win no games, your players ain't playing.
Right. Awesome, Austin. Any have you heard any more about the David Irving situation?
You know, just what Dallas said, it's just year after year we hear about these Cowboys getting in trouble, and that's why a lot of people question their lack of leadership on that team. You know? Everyone, yeah, Jason Garrett is the coach, but everyone knows Jerry Jones just has him, you know, in his claws, in his back, controlling everything. You know, you can't be your own person if you're a part of the Dallas Cowboys because the higher-ups pretty much control the team front or top to bottom, you know. And
right.
There's no discipline. There's no course of action for this stuff. Let it go. And that's why they have problems year after year.
That's why they ain't going to be no Super Bowl champs for a long time. I'll tell you that right now.
Listen, guys, that was the end of our NFL buzz. Awesome, Austin. I mean, that went pretty quick. I mean, if you're wanting to stay on the line with us, man, we'll have you do the draft grades with us. We're going to pinpoint out some of the key guys that the Saints and the Raiders drafted. Does that sound feasible to you,
find
Awesome,
some
Austin?
More, I can find some more news if you want. There was a whole bunch of stuff.
What do you got?
Le'Veon Bell is seeking out $14.5 million in his new contract. That's what he's holding out for. David Johnson,
No, you're okay. I know there's a delay there. But let's pause right there on Le'Veon Bell. Because I remember last year he was seeking, what was it, like $17 million per year, something crazy like that. And I know, you know, being a Steelers fan that I am, I've been seeing where the Steelers have been offering him around $14 million a year in a new contract. I think now, and I've heard Antonio Brown's had enough with this whole situation, the deal needs to get done. I mean, when you're that $14 million to $14.5 million, you're that close. You know, let's just get this deal done and get this drama over with, and let's focus on this upcoming season. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, the way that I look at this is very simple. There's only so many quality running backs in the NFL.
Right.
There really is. There's only so many quality running backs. And running back has become such an important position on the field. It's quickly becoming one of the most versatile pieces on your offense.
Right.
You have to have guys that can run and catch out of the backfield and pass block.
Right.
And run block potentially for other running backs or quarterbacks. So Le'Veon Bell can do all of those things. He's a quality running back. And he's seeing what some of these other guys are getting paid.
Right.
These guys, they know what the other guys around the league are getting paid. And Le'Veon Bell is thinking, you know, I'm a franchise player, and I'm still not getting what I think I deserve for the services that I'm providing. When Le'Veon Bell is on the football field for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're a top five offense.
Yeah.
When Le'Veon Bell's not on the field, they struggle a little bit because they don't have a prolific running back on the field. They don't have that dualistic offense. Le'Veon Bell knows this, and, you know, as far as the Steelers go, as an organization, they tend to pay their players pretty well.
Right.
But you're going to see this, whether they get this deal hammered out or not, you're going to continue to see this be a point of contention between them and other players on their team in the future, especially if Le'Veon Bell gets what he asks for.
Right.
Because now other players are going to say, well, whoa, 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 hold on a minute. What about my contribution to this organization?
Well, and I think one of the things we have to look at, too, with the Steelers, we see it every year, is somebody's restructuring their contract.
Yep.
I mean, and Ben does it all the time. Cameron Hayward did it this year. Antonio Brown, he chipped, you know, took away $8 million in his contract, restructured that. So we're seeing a lot of these guys contribute. Yeah, do what?
Four Bell.
Yeah,
Antonio Brown did it four Bell.
Yeah. Awesome, Austin, do you want to comment on this real quick? I'm sure you do.
You know, I'm just sick of these players, you know, doing this. You know, I'm just one of those guys, you sign a contract, you stick by that contract until it's over with. I know he's on the one-year tender and whatnot, but this goes for – I'm talking specifically about Julio Jones, you know. He's getting upset because
right.
he's lesser receivers, quote unquote, are making more money than him. Well, the market changes year after year. You know, the
right.
NFL changes the salary cap every year, you know, all this stuff. So, yeah, some receivers are going to make more money than you eventually during your time on your contract. So just play it out, do your team right, and just play out your contract. Then they will probably, if you are a good sport about it, reward you pretty heavily. So just play out your contract. With Le'Veon Bell, I know it's different. He's on the one-year deal or the franchise tag.
Right.
I understand his situation, but why hold out? Stand the holds out because you're technically under contract with that team. They want you. Just play it out. Be a good sport about it. And right now, Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, is hurting his team more than anything.
Agreed.
You know, I have to disagree on that to a degree. I don't disagree that it creates drama for the team. But when I look at it from a player's perspective and I look at it from the risks that the players take, they know they're taking these risks. But at the same time, their career is a ticking time clock. They never know when they're going to get injured, potentially lose their career. And running backs, they're the guys that are going to get hit the most.
Yeah,
they're going to get hit more than anybody else on the field, whether it's blocking, whether it's running downfield, whether it's catching up in the backfield, and you're exposed to some of the most vicious hits that you can be exposed to. I look at it from a player's perspective. I don't have a problem with players trying to get what they can out of these multi-billion, and in some cases even more than that, organizations who have got the money to pay them. It's a pay-to-play league. You want to win games or you don't want to win. That being said, I understand that Le'Veon Bell's under contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but
right. He's
been franchise tagged more than once.
Right.
And from his perspective, he's got to be thinking, I'm sick of being franchise tagged. I want a long-term commitment deal from this organization.
Right.
I'm tired of you guys just telling me you're going to fix it down the line. It's more than just Le'Veon Bell wanting money.
Right.
It's that added security of, okay, I'm seeing other guys get locked up for long-term deals. Teams are committed to them. They're committed to keeping them around. I want that long-term deal as well. I want security for myself and my family. So I can see it from Le'Veon Bell's perspective. I don't agree with the way that either of the two sides have handled it. I think the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell have both drugged their feet on this deal for far too long, and it's become a saga of epic proportions that just needs to end. But at the same time, I can see it from both sides' perspectives. On the side of the Steelers, you know, they're thinking, well, we've sacrificed quite a bit to keep you here.
Right.
But from the side of Le'Veon Bell, he's saying, listen, I understand what you guys are saying and everything, but when I asked for my initial extension, you should have given it to me.
I will say, you know, we see players in organizations go back and forth on it, and Le'Veon Bell is obviously worth a hefty amount of money. You know, he's definitely going to be worth a lot of money. But I will say, to me now, as a fan, I will say this as a fan and as an analyst at the same time. Now that you are so close,
find a middle ground and get it done.
Let's just get it done. Also, to hit on Austin's point of Julio Jones's situation. You know, and him, you know, I don't want to say belly aching about it, but that's pretty much what it is right now, is belly aching about these other receivers getting paid more and the less receivers, yada, yada, yada. Well, there was a time where Joe Flacco was the number one paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And guess what the quarterback said? Well, just wait till next year to when my extension happens. Just like Matt Ryan. Just like Matt Stafford last year. Just like Aaron Rodgers.
And the thing about that is we've seen what happens when that happens. These teams realize, okay, well, Joe Flacco, who's terrible, is getting $100 million. How much does it cost me to keep Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or whoever on my roster? How much does it cost me to sign a Kirk Cousins? How much does it cost me to sign somebody who has got the potential to be my franchise quarterback?
Right.
And not only – and when you look at some of these positions, when you look at the position of receiver and running back and quarterback, you look at these positions not only from the standpoint of football, but think about it from a marketing perspective.
Right.
I don't want to be mean or rude and offend anybody, but how many of you know all the offensive linemen on your team?
Right.
You don't know them. How many of you know all of the special teams players? You don't know them,
right.
But you know who your top receivers are.
Right.
You know who your running back is.
Right.
You know who your quarterback is. You might know a couple of the defensive studs. From a marketing standpoint, these guys are making a killing for their organization.
Right.
And they are asking for a despite the fact, you know, we talk about the millions of dollars these guys make, and sometimes it gets exorbitant to us.
Right.
But when you think about how much money some of these guys have generated, not just for their organization, but for
right.
the NFL as a whole.
Right.
They are asking basically for a fraction of the price of what they could be making.
Right. I think my whole point is Julio Jones will be the highest paid receiver, you know, whenever
it
happens.
Yeah.
But then 2 years down the road, he's going to be the second or the third
yeah.
again. He can't have
that's
a new contract
one,
every year.
That's the trend that you're going to see no matter what.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're going to see that the market is driven by the next big guy.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. It's driven by the franchise that's got to make that next tough decision of, okay, how do I keep this core intact? This guy's a key component on my team. How do I keep him?
Right.
That's what drives the market.
Awesome, Austin. Your thoughts on this. I want to make sure I get you in here on this.
Well, regarding the Le'Veon Bell thing, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Steelers offered him a contract last season. Am I wrong, Ted?
Yeah, they offered him. Yep, they offered.
Yeah, so
did he turn it down?
These teams are offering these players contracts. Like the Redskins offered Kirk Cousins a contract. That was a pretty good deal. And they're just declining it because they think they're worth more. They think they're worth more than that contract. And, you know, I understand you get the most amount of money that you can while you're in the league. But like Kirk Cousins, I think that deal they offered him, he was still a top five paid quarterback. But his whole thing was respect, and he wanted the Redskins. He felt like the Redskins didn't really want him. But in the end, we're hearing the Redskins players say, we felt like Kirk didn't want to be here. He felt distant from players. He wasn't, you know, full focused in meetings and whatnot. So it was like his head was out of the game a year too early.
The delay, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't want to lump Kirk Cousins into this same category because there are other extenuating circumstances regarding Kirk Cousins. Look at what the front office of the Redskins has done over the last season. Did they get him a top receiver to throw to?
Yeah.
No, they did not. Did they give him a good offensive line to protect him? No, they did not. Did they add defense to this team to give him more opportunities to throw the football? No, they did not. They did not make Washington a desirable location for him to be anymore. The fact of the matter is Kirk Cousins is a talented quarterback, but look at the way he's not the only player from the Redskins organization that's saying they don't care.
Right.
They don't care if they put a winning product on the field. They don't care if we get hurt. They don't care about taking care of us as players. So when you're hearing those kinds of things coming out of your front office from players who've been with your team for a while, of course you're not going to be able to lock up a franchise quarterback. Why would he want to be there? The culture is terrible in Washington right now.
Right, and I think that's, you know, as far as – I think that both what you're saying is both well for what Austin and I are saying with Le'Veon Bell, because the culture,
is great
in Pittsburgh and the players around Le'Veon Bell if Le'Veon Bell decides he doesn't want to be at the Steelers no more, there's nowhere for him to go that can pay him that kind of money
right.
with that kind of roster. So I think we're all on the same page with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. They need to get the thing done. But I think you're okay with Le'Veon Bell getting the $14.5 million.
I mean, you know, you look at it like this. That's chump change. This is a franchise player. That is chump change.
Right.
I'm sorry. But you look at some of the contracts we've seen over last year. For crying out loud, Jimmy G's getting $139.9 million. He hasn't proved anything.
Well, and you look at – just keep it with the Steelers. Look at Antonio Brown. He's making $18 million a year right now. You know, and he's the top receiver. Le'Veon Bell – is arguably the second best receiver on this team, and he's the running back. I understand.
Yeah,
he's
I mean, he's a dual purpose guy, and let's not forget what he adds in terms of protecting the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best pass blockers that comes out of the backfield in the league.
I think what makes Le'Veon Bell so talented is not just the fact that he's a patient runner, is the fact that he is so well in the passing game. He is that intangible weapon that you can't coach it. He has that special talent.
And so I think I'm okay with Le'Veon Bell getting his money. It's time for Le'Veon Bell to get that money. It's $14.5 million. you know, it's a high paid contract, but you know what? At the same time, you give your franchise guys what they ask for.
I'm gonna check the video real quick, see if anybody's commented yet. Awesome, Austin. Again, I feel like we're all started pretty much on the same page. Dallas just wanted him to get that extra $100K a year. Just give him the $500K. Just open your wallet and call it at him. Any more comments from you, Awesome Austin?
I'm just tired of the whole contract deal. I mean, when Antonio Brown, your star receiver, saying I'm just sick of this. Here, I'm taking money out of my contract to give to you. Just get the deal done. Come join me long term with this franchise, and we can be the best duo for this team in the franchise history.
Yeah.
Just get the deal done.
I think
players are sick of talking about it.
Right. I mean, I think that's something else too that Awesome Austin is bringing up, is that Antonio's perspective from it is, look, man, I'm going to be here for a long time. Let's get you here for a long time, and let's get some championships under our belt. Let's play some football, man. And I mean, they're pretty much brothers. You know, they see each other a lot. They talk to each other a lot, obviously. I can see Antonio Brown being frustrated.
I understand Antonio Brown's frustration, but at the end of the day, you got to look at it from the player perspective. Le'Veon Bell can see the money Antonio Brown is making.
Right.
They can talk. They know each other.
Right.
They see each other every day. He knows the kind of car Antonio Brown's driving to practice.
Right.
He knows what he's driving. Le'Veon to get on that level.
Right.
And I think at this point in his career, Le'Veon Bell deserves that money.
Okay. Let's see what that awesome audience. You said you had a couple other NFL buzz things. What do you got for us, man?
Yeah, some holdouts. Khalil Mack, David Johnson. I mentioned Julio Jones.
Right.
I think those are the big names that are holding out. I mean, there are some lesser people holding out for dumb reasons, but there are those people. And then over the weekend, I'm going to go on.
Okay. No, I was going to say, let's stop right there for a second. Hold out. Let's delve on Khalil Mack. Big D, you were just talking about the franchises need to get these top elite players. I'll tell you right now, Khalil Mack is the best player on the Oakland Raiders team.
Yeah, he needs that deal. And I don't know. Look, I don't know what it is. I haven't heard what Khalil Mack's asking for. But whatever it is, he's a blue chip player. You give him the money, all right? You don't go around. Let's sign Frosty Ruck now, all right? Let's sign Khalil Mack. Let's keep our premier defensive player on this team, and let's not have him jumping over to Denver or Oakland or any of these other teams that might need somebody on their team.
Awesome, Austin. So how do you feel about the whole Khalil Mack thing?
Also, Aaron Donald's holding out again too. But I mean, I agree.
That's always.
I'm just in the whole. You know, you're in contract. I know people want to get paid. I know all this stuff. But just show up. It's going to be easier for both sides if you just show up. You know, it's going to make it easier. It's going to make it less awkward. You know, it really makes me question people's priority. Do they want to get paid or do they want to win championships? And clearly,
right.
Mac is not looking to the, hey, John Gruden is my coach. We got a lot of talent this offseason. We could be a real championship contender. But instead, he's on his couch watching NFL Network, listening to people talk about his contract situation. Come on, dude. Like, get up. Be a real leader. Show up to camp. Show these young guys how to do it. And go win yourself a Super Bowl ring. Go, you know what? Here's some word of advice for these people. Go pull a Joe Flacco. Win a Super Bowl, and then you'll get paid heavily.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. This is a little bit of a different situation, I think. Khalil Mack, he is one of the premier players on this team. I mean, he is the bright spot on an otherwise meh roster. So I think at this point, it's more than just about the money for some of these players. It's not always just money.
Right.
It's about the long-term security of having a long-term deal. Of knowing that I've got X amount of money guaranteed to me if I get hurt, if something happens, it's more than just money. Yes, money is a driving factor, and it's going to be a driving factor for these guys. They're playing at the highest level that you can play at.
Right.
They expect to get money. They see other people get it, and they expect to get it. But on the other hand, think about the long-term security for some of these guys. You don't play 20 years
right.
in the NFL.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
Right.
Who, you know, where you've got
Favre.
A bunch of guys that can keep you alive.
Or Brett Favre. Yeah.
Or Brett Favre, my other one. You know, you don't do that unless you've got
right.
That added security.
Let me ask you something, Big D, because the next guy is David Johnson, and I think this situation is unique.
Yeah.
And I will side with the organization on this because David Johnson was hurt all last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that he played phenomenally. The year before that, he only played half a season. So now you're in a situation where I have one good season out of my premier running back, who he's the best player on the roster again. But last year, he was hurt all year last year. What do you do in this situation? I think to me, I'm siding with the organization. You know, let's play out your contract. Let's see how you do this year. And then we'll check it out.
I think prove it deal is in order for David Johnson.
Right.
Prove to me you can be an asset to this organization
for
the entire season.
So you want him to finish out his contract?
I want a prove it deal. Either you finish out the contract or we do a mini extension for just the season. Like we give you a signing bonus
right.
for the year. If you prove it, then we restructure your contract and we do a deal.
A big extension. Awesome, Austin. Do you agree with what Big D and I are saying? That I think that's feasible.
I think that's fair.
Oh, about Johnson?
David yes. Johnson. Yes, yes. About David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, you know, these guys need to play out their contracts. I mean, we see players explode one season, and then the next they fall off. Does everyone remember Doug Martin? After his rookie year, we thought he was the next superstar in this league, and then he just fell off completely. Now he's a backup to Marshawn Lynch in Oakland. So, you know, we can't be paying these players after one season. We just can't. I know they think they deserve it, but they don't. Not yet. There's a reason why they have rookie contracts. There's a reason why they're 4 years with a fifth-year option. You show me what you can do in those first 4 years, potentially that fifth year. If you do well, if you are a superstar, we will pay you heavily. We will pay you like you deserve to be paid. But before then, don't talk to me about it.
And see, that's one of the things that you know we had Jody on last week, the author of Free Agency and Pro Football. And she was mentioning how when these league guys come in the league, they're locked into that four-year contract no matter what. They can hold out. They can do what they want, but they're still locked
right.
in that contract, and they're not going anywhere technically, right? I mean, so I agree with that too. I think to me, especially rookie contracts, I know towards the end, like the fourth year, it's hard for these guys not to go, yeah, look what I've done these first 3 years. I'm a superstar. I need paid. But I think for me, you also got to look at the roster around you. Is this roster going to help you bring a championship, or are you just going to suck all the money up and you're not going to do anything? And it's the age-old question. What matters to the player the most, championships or money? Like the Dominican Sue.
Right.
The money obviously matters.
Well, I mean, not just championships
right.
or money. I think, championships lead to money.
It does.
Let's be real.
It
I
does.
Mean, look at the New England Patriots. Look at that. Look at them bonuses.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that cheddar.
Yeah.
Look at that bling they're running around with.
Right.
Okay? So championships and money can go hand in hand.
They can.
The problem is, in this league, is
yeah, but,
there's,
you know,
there's
on the Patriots,
teams.
Tell me a player on the
30,
Patriots that is one of the highest paid players.
Well, just let me finish here. The Patriots – They're a sterling organization as far as championships go. But look at the league as a whole. There's 32 teams. Only one of them every season can be champion.
Right.
Only one.
Right.
Some of these teams will never make it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter. I mean, they'll get close. They'll be competitive. But let's just be real. There's 32 teams. Only one of them could be a champion. Only two teams can make it to that game.
Right.
That means that 30 other teams are going to be sitting at home every single year in the biggest game of the year. That is 30 teams with over, let's just say, an estimated 75 players
right.
on average. Each one of them has that many. That's that many guys that are not going to be having that opportunity to make that money. Now, with that being said, you've got – approximately anywhere from 50 to 60 guys on these teams,
mm-hmm.
including, you know, the guys that are training, the guys that are in that, you know, these organizations have to pay out a lot of money.
Right.
The question is not so much for players, you know, do I want championships or money? There's not a single player, I think, that came into the NFL that doesn't want to be in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
There's, I mean, that's it's the highest level you can play at.
Right.
How many players have we interviewed on this show, and they've talked about, the ones that have made it to the Super Bowl, have talked about the magic, the moments, the memories, the glory, and the money.
Right.
But and you look at that, all these players in the NFL want that. They all want to get there. But at the same time, they also have to grapple with the reality that there's a chance that I might never get there. So how do I do the best I can for myself and my family? I've got to be able to get a decent enough amount of money. Because oftentimes, and let's be real, oftentimes these guys don't have plans after
right.
the NFL. We've seen it.
Right.
We've seen guys come in here and say, yeah, after the NFL, I didn't have anything going on. We've got some that have. So you've got to look at it from a security standpoint. Does every single player in your organization, are they going to want, you know, $50 million on a guaranteed contract for 5 years? No. So in that regard, I agree with Austin. But when you've got blue chip guys that are just flat out studs,
mm-hmm.
whether they're playing for a terrible team or not, if they're a freaking stud, you pay them like they're a stud if
right.
you want to win football games.
Well, and I think so. Here's my point. Back to Ndamukong Suh is going to be my example, and it happens all the time in free agency.
Yeah.
He comes to free agency, and this is where I say, do championships matter more or does money matter more? Because he wanted a big heavy contract. Well, the Dolphins gave him a big heavy contract. They didn't have the roster or the cap to pay anywhere else, and he knew he wasn't going to get a championship there. So, therefore, he decided to invest in himself, like you're saying. But now he's on the Rams. He decided to go to the Rams. I think he's realizing he wants a championship. He's not getting paid, you know, 5 year, $100 million contract, whatever it was. Don't
yeah.
matter. You know, he's on the Rams now, and now I think he wants to be a part of a special team.
And I want to circle back before we get Austin in here to the Patriots. Look at the Patriots. There's a lot of guys on the team that are not the highest paid guys on the team.
Yeah.
But you know what? Those guys, they have that added security of, I play for one of the most respected, sometimes most reviled organizations in the NFL who are consistently going to compete for championships, which means consistently –
right.
I have the opportunity to get those added contract incentives that are included in just about every player's contract when they come in the NFL. You win championships, you get some more money, we get you some more endorsement deals, we get
right.
you more of this, more of this, more of this. So, you know, with organizations like that, there's that added bonus of, listen, we compete for championships here.
Right.
We're a consistent performer at the highest level, which means there's that extra opportunity every year to get a little bit more money.
Sure.
A little bit more exposure.
Right.
A little bit more opportunity.
So then that's the point Austin and I are making. Is it money that you're after or championships? Because if you go to the Patriots, you're going to get paid well if you're a star player.
There
Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, all these guys get paid very well. Dante Hightower. But guess what? They're also competing every year too. Like
yeah, they are.
But they're getting paid well, just not top money. So that's why I'm saying what matters to a player.
Yeah, but when you look at the way that they're getting paid, yes, they're getting paid pretty well. They're not getting that. But, I mean, you look at Tom Brady. You think Tom Brady cares that he's not the top-paid quarterback in the NFL? Tom Brady don't care. Look at all the endorsements he's got. Look at all the outside business he's getting.
Right.
He's the most – not only is he one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the NFL, he's one of the most recognizable faces in the world.
Right. And what I'm saying is if these players don't, like, instead of asking for $100 million, if they ask for $75 million, that leaves an extra $25
yeah.
to get some other players to
and,
get you that,
and
that
I
point.
Understand that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it from the perspective, the player's perspective. The player's perspective is, let's take a look at a guy like Khalil Mack.
Sure. Sure.
Okay?
Go ahead.
The Raiders, are they competing for a championship this year?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
They're competitive.
Maybe. Well, I think they're still a little ways away from being a championship caliber team. There's
okay.
still players missing on this roster that could potentially help them.
Mm-hmm.
There's questions about some of their players' health and their ability to stay healthy.
Right.
You look at an organization like the Raiders who they're not exactly a consistent performer at the highest level.
Right.
Their players on their team, people have no idea who they are because in order for you to get that recognition, that extra money, to be in those commercials and all that good stuff, you got to be on a championship caliber team.
Right.
But people don't know who the heck you are. You think people would know who Richard Seymour was if he wasn't play, if he didn't play for a Super Bowl caliber Patriots team before he was a free agent? Nobody would know who he was. Okay? So it's more than just the money, too, for these players. It's branding. It's marketing. It's all these things come into play. So I can kind of understand the frustrations of some of these players where they say, well, you know, I got drafted out of college by this team. It wasn't exactly, you know, it's not like when they get drafted that they, you know, all had the, you know, that they were, that's what they were told. You know, you get drafted, you go to this team, and that's what you do. I mean, yeah, some of them will go to other teams because they don't want to be there, but a lot of these guys that they come into the league, they're with this team. That's what they know. They know they're on this team. That's what they're, what they've, it's ingrained in them. They're in this team now. They've been drafted. That's what you do. You stay with this team. But if you're not at that high level, like some of these organizations are, because you've got guys that understand what it takes to get there. You've got that veteran leadership, but you've also got the culture.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these teams don't have the culture of championships. They don't have the culture of how to get there and how to maintain and stay there. And so because they don't have that culture yet, a lot of these guys are going to be looking past the championships. They're going to be looking past that. They're going to say, okay, I play for the Oakland Raiders, okay? That means that I'm probably not going to win a lot of championships. I am not one of the hyper-competitive teams in this league right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do to ensure that I'm still going to be able to take care of myself down the line? And that's where I think these guys come in with the, well, I'm not going to win, so I want $100 million.
Right. And,
you know?
I can understand that to a point. And it also comes down to, with that, and I'm gonna have Awesome chime in. With that, you know, like, I don't want to say the Raiders, because I think the Raiders, they've got a good coach. They've got a great team.
It's definitely turning around.
Yeah, they've got a great team looking at them right now. But I will say, like, for instance, the Miami Dolphins or the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, perennial bottom feeders for the most part.
Right. So I can understand that if they're on the Raiders or the Dolphins. Yeah, I want my money. You know, I understand that.
I'm going to be in the league with this team.
But, Austin, your final thoughts on the contract thing?
I just want to make a couple points before we move on. But, you know, earlier you were talking about how Jody was saying, you know, these players coming to the league locked into that four-year deal. You know, I can understand these players getting upset around year three or four when they do become superstars, kind of like an Odell Beckham kind of situation. You know, he's still on his rookie contract, and he obviously wants to get paid, you know, top-tier receiver money. But, you know, part of that is the players have to get frustrated with the NFL Players Association for setting up this whole entire layout, because they're the ones that set up this four-year deal with the fifth-year option thing. If these players want to get paid sooner, then make it a locked-in three-year deal with a fourth-year option or something similar to that, a two-year deal with a third-year option. So, you know, you can't get necessarily upset with your respective team on how everything works out every single year for every single player. Get mad at your players' association for setting it up that way. That's my take on that.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And as far as that goes, you know, we've talked about the Players Association and the relationship between the players and the NFL as a whole and NFL policies. There's a lot of red tape there. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think we're ever going to find the perfect system.
No.
For the NFL. It's a multi-billion dollar, close to trillion dollar industry.
Right.
And there's a lot of money going to a lot of different pockets.
Right.
You're never going to find a perfect system for an organization like this, because you're just never going to be able to find a system where everybody's happy about the flow of money.
Right. You guys, let's head on to the draft grades now.
Draft time.
Let's start with the New Orleans Saints. I got to be honest here, guys. I think the Saints did okay with what they had. Awesome?
You said, man.
I was just going to say, this is where I'm going to end up, fellas.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Osmos. We will let you go.
I hear some tiny little gremlins downstairs calling my name.
All right. Take care, man.
Happy Father's Day to you all.
Yeah, you too, man. So let's go ahead, Big D, and let's knock these draft grades out of the park here. Obviously, the Saints traded into the first round to get Marcus Davenport. They traded a first round for 2019 and a fifth round for 2018 to get back in here. With that being said, they wanted another playmaker on defense. They've got their offense. The offense is clicking. They need a couple more pieces on defense. I've raved about Marcus Davenport, Chris Hoven, who we've had on the show, and when we had him on the first round of the draft, he was talking about Marcus Davenport. Very excited to see this young man play. He is a freak of nature. He's a big man. I'm just excited.
He runs a 4.5.
Yeah, he's fast. He's a freak.
He's 6'6", and he's 264 pounds and runs a 4.5.
He's a freak. Yeah.
You know, he's one of the fastest defensive ends in this NFL draft. I know there's people that were concerned about Davenport's durability.
Right.
But this is a guy who just made an enormous splash at the combine.
Right.
And then you start looking at this guy's game film and you say, you know, wow.
Right.
This guy is stellar.
Right.
So I think it's a win for the Saints.
Right.
You know, you look at their defense. It had moments last season where it was pretty good.
Right.
But I think this could be a really nice move for them.
Right. Excuse me. So I think you and I are on the same page as far as Marcus Davenport. You know, he's obviously – I think he's going to be a stud in this. Like, I really do. And offenses need to be aware. But the next guy, Big D, Tre'Quan Smith, wide receiver. Obviously, the Saints go down to the third round, and they got to do what they got to do here. And they pick up a receiver. And they've got a good offense. They've got Michael Thomas. They've got Ted Ginn. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of this kid, though. I'm liking what I'm seeing, what he's going to do for the Saints offense. And obviously, this is a pass-heavy offense. He's going to be used in this offense as a rookie. Alvin Kamara did. Look what happened here. Big D, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Drew Brees is your quarterback, and he can pretty much make anybody look good.
Right.
He's kind of like Tom Brady. He just makes anybody that he plays with look good. Tre'Quan's got some speed. He's 6'2". He's got a nice frame to him.
Right.
He's an athletic receiver. This guy's going to have an opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team that they just need a depth at the wide receiver position. This is a depth pick for me. The Saints figure, well, we're the Saints. We can never have too many receivers. Let's go.
Right.
And they drafted Tre'Quan Smith. So excited to see what he can do on the field. Ultimately, though, you know, he's going into a great situation.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got Drew Brees as his quarterback. That's like getting drafted to Tom Brady.
Well, and again,
Aaron Rodgers or whoever.
Well, and again, Sean Payton's offense, it's pass heavy.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why Alvin Kamara shines so much, because he's such a good pass catcher. You know,
yep.
The rookie's got they've got a plan for the rookie here.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, Rick Leonard, offensive tackle out of Florida State. Another good pick. Obviously, you got to protect Drew Brees. He has only, you know, so long to play in this league anymore. But at the same time, you've got to shore up the offensive line and protect Drew Brees and help the run game. I like this pick. I mean, these are one of these picks you don't talk about a whole lot because it's offensive lineman, right?
Dead.
Yeah.
There's more. But wait, there's more.
Go for it.
Not only was Rick Leonard a stud offensive tackle for Florida State, he was a stud defensive end, and he moved from defensive end to right tackle. This guy is huge.
Right.
But he's got versatility.
Right.
I mean, look at that. I mean, another one of those players that can play multiple positions.
Versatility.
Versatility is everything in the NFL. How many players have we had on the show that have said, well, I could play multiple positions, so this is why I was able to get, you know.
A shot. Right. I will say this next guy, round five, and I think we're going to stop it here on the Saints. Natrell Jamerson, safety out of Wisconsin. This is standing out to me because Kenny Vaccaro, who was the Saints' stud safety, he's still a free agent because of his injury concerns.
Yeah.
They go and draft a guy in round five. If he earns his roster spot and he gets a position to where he can start, look out. I'm serious, you know.
I have a problem with this pick, Ted.
Go for it.
Because he missed six games due to a serious leg injury
right
before this draft. So I've got some concerns about drafting a guy that's playing safety with a history of leg injuries.
Well, they're used to injured safety anyway, so why not get another one?
Why not get another one? We can have both of them on the bench together.
Next up, guys, the new the Oakland Raiders. Let's get them up here. The Oakland Raiders, first off, their first pick, Big D, Colton Miller, offensive tackle out of UCLA, was the left tackle for Josh Rosen. Okay? Colt Miller, I'm excited to see this because the Raiders, they need help on that offensive line. They do. They need to protect Derek Carr. They need to protect, give Marshawn Lynch some running holes, right? I mean, and obviously Colt Miller is one of the more athletic guys in this draft.
don't forget that the starting left tackle for the Oakland Raiders right now, Donald Penn, is he's in the twilight years of his career.
He's 35.
You know, he's losing a step. No, nothing against him, and he just underwent foot surgery this last season.
Right, right.
So this is more than just okay. Let's protect the quarterback for the future. This is more than that. This is the
future of our position.
We need somebody to play offensive line this season. So
yes, this is the future for the Raiders. I should have said that, and I do apologize. Now, we talked about it before. The Oakland Raiders got some defensive linemen in the free agency, but now they've also drafted in the second round P.J. Hall, nose tackle out of San Houston State. Big D, you like defensive players.
I like P.J. Hall,
and he is a nose tackle, which is what they need on that defensive line. They haven't had a good defensive tackle in a while. Tell us about it.
Well, listen, guys, he finished his career with 86.5 tackles for loss and 42 sacks, along with 14 career blocked kicks, 14, which is 3 shy of the all-time record. So he came within 3 block kicks of breaking the record.
You're liking what you're seeing.
This is an aggressive defensive player. He's got a 38-inch vertical. He's 6 foot, 295 pounds, and he's got a 38-inch vertical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was also timed as running a 4.8, which for a guy his size
is pretty
impressive.
He's trucking.
So this is a guy that's not only going to be able to protect the interior of the defensive line,
right,
he's going to make some problems for some teams.
Oh, especially the block kicks. Look how important that was last year, and how some of these kickers just botched kicks and didn't do well. You get a guy like this, disruptive and just a extra point or even a field goal, that could be
he's
game.
He's also got the most third down TFLs in the FCS.
Wow. Yeah.
So on third down, this guy just shuts people down.
Yeah, he wrecks havoc.
Yeah.
Next up, we talked about it before. The Oakland Raiders need to protect Derek Carr and the open holes for the run game. But like you said, Big D, they've got some aging offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So guess what? They go in the third round, pick one. They go and get Brandon Parker, offensive tackle out of North Carolina, A&T. So again, here they are investing in the future. First out of the first three rounds, 2 offensive linemen.
And this is
that's
another
a big deal.
Big guy.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. This guy is 6'8", 305 pounds. He's got a large frame to him. He's a big boy.
That's a big boy.
Okay. The only concern with him is that people have said that he's got a little bit of an inconsistency problem as far as chipping people.
Right.
But that's something that can be worked on. Ultimately, the Raiders double dipped at a position that they desperately needed.
Right.
And I'm not going to bag on the Raiders for going out and saying, okay, Derek Carr got hurt. Why did he get hurt? Well, he got hit a whole lot.
John Gruden is making sure Derek Carr stays upright.
So, I mean, if Derek Carr has time to throw with the receiving core that he has, and he should have time now, watch out.
Right. Next up, guys, still in the third round, Arden Key, edge rusher out of LSU. Big D, the Raiders understand that they need some pass rushers. Khalil Mack can't do it all, right? Here they get a nice, strong edge rusher out of LSU. We always hear about SEC speed and SEC defenses. Well, here's a good player right here. Tell us about him.
You know, Arden Key, he had some off-field concerns.
Right.
And that's what dropped his draft stock. But ultimately, he's a top 10 talent in this draft. Top 10.
Right.
The only thing that made him slide as far as concerns about some of the off-field issues.
Of course.
But he needs to add a little bit of muscle to him. But ultimately, he's 6'5", 238 pounds, and he played on a really stout defense. He was a major, major contributor for the LSU Tigers.
Right.
And you look at the level of competition they play. You know, people talk about the SEC and the speed and the pace that they play at.
Right.
But if you look at it on paper, it speaks for itself. Championships do a lot of talking.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's played against a lot of championship caliber offenses and championship caliber players. So Arden Key could be a key contributor for this team.
Absolutely. Right away. And, you know, the 235 pounds that we said?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me speaks out. He's definitely a linebacker-esque type of player. And, I, you know, they've been looking for a Robin to Khalil Mack's Batman, if you will. And that works perfectly.
And there's already talk about him about him being potentially linebacker.
Yeah, that's how, it makes a ton of sense there. Next up, this one is Nick Nelson in round four, cornerback out of Wisconsin. I want to hit on this a little bit because the interesting thing with the Oakland Raiders is they had a lot of injuries on that defensive backside of the defense. You know, Gary Conley, Obi Melifonwu, and a lot of guys. They got depth in Nick Nelson, but at the same time, if these injuries arise again, it's another solid guy. Tell us about him, Big D. Go for it.
You know, the thing is, Nick Nelson's got a lot of talent. He's got some speed to him. He's got a pretty good vertical. He's very good at batting down passes. The one concern I have about Nick Nelson is that he is small. Mm-hmm. He's only 5'11".
So you're looking at him as a slot guy.
So I see him as more of a slot corner. He's got the run support ability, though, to be a versatile contributor on this defense. So Nick Nelson's a solid depth pick.
Right.
But, he's not going to be lining outside against these bigger receivers and having a lot of success. They're going to have to play him in the slot.
All right, this next guy, and this is the last guy for the Oakland Raiders here, Big D. Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle out of Michigan. We all, you know, we know his story. You and I have talked about it before, having heart condition problem.
Yeah.
The doctors have medically cleared him, and he still slid to the fifth round. You know, the thing is John Gruden loved this kid and wanted to draft him a lot earlier, but with the heart condition, it's gonna hurt his stock, and we were expecting it. I will say this. They're getting a heck of a talent. You know, obviously, as Buckeye fans, we got to watch them play against Ohio State and in the Big Ten in general. You know, it's kind of the thing up here in Ohio, Big Ten football. But at the same time, Maurice Hurst is a heck of a talent. And I have a feeling John Gruden's got a plan for him, and he's going to contribute right away. Other than the heart condition, Big D, what else do you have on him?
Listen, Maurice Hurst, don't be fooled by the heart condition.
Right.
Because the only thing you need to worry about is this guy's heart. This guy has got a tremendous amount of tenacity. He is one of the most aggressive tacklers in this NFL draft. This
right.
is a very vicious, vicious tackler. Maurice Hurst, 6'1", 292 pounds, and he's an interior rusher. He's played on end, but he's an interior rusher. And from the defensive tackle position, he was still one of the sack leaders for Michigan, which speaks volumes because if you don't know how a defensive line works, you're predominantly relying on your edge rushers to get to the quarterback.
Right.
Your defensive tackles tend to stay in the middle and try to soak up some of those blocks so that your defensive ends can get inside.
And Maurice Hurst took a lot of double teams.
He did.
He did a lot of run stopping, but like you said, he was productive against the passing game, too.
He was very productive against the passing game. He was one of the leaders on his team in pass deflections,
right.
And he was one of the leaders on his team in sacks despite playing defensive tackle. When you look at the division that he played in college, there's a lot of tough running backs in that division. There was
right.
a lot of good mobile
Saquon
quarterbacks.
Barkley.
You know, Saquon Barkley comes to mind. This is a guy that's faced a lot of prolific players in his career tenure as a college player and has faced a lot of adversity. You can bet that he's going to come in with a massive chip on his shoulder, and that bodes well for the Oakland Raiders organization.
Absolutely. And then you mentioned he plays the talent he plays in the Big Ten, but now he goes to the AFC West. He's got to get after Philip Rivers. He's got to get after now Case Keenum. And he's got to get after Pat Mahomes.
And don't forget, he's got to go up against Kareem Hunt.
Right. I mean, and Melvin Gordon.
And Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. So I agree with you, Big D. I think we got to, you know, they're getting a – this is our favorite player in the Oakland draft class, right? We're excited for him.
Yeah, this is my favorite – this is my favorite player for the Oakland Raiders draft class, not only because of the story around it, but because the fact of the matter is before the draft started, people were raving about Maurice Hurst.
Oh, yeah.
And it
was a first-round talent.
And it wasn't until the discussion of his heart condition came out that his draft stock plummeted.
Right.
Now, the fact of the matter is we won't know until the season starts how good Maurice Hurst really is, at least
right.
at the NFL level. But we do know how good he is from a college standpoint, having seen him play. Maurice Hurst is absolutely not only a vicious tackler and an aggressive pass rusher, but he is also a leader.
Right.
He's got that natural leadership capability. You look at how vocal he was a season ago for his team. He was the focal point on the defense despite his position. And usually on defenses, it's the linebacking core that's like that. It's usually your linebackers and your outside rushers that tend to be the more vocal leaders on the team, that tend to be the guys that people gravitate towards on your team as the leaders. Maurice Hurst was a guy on his team on a solid defense that people were looking to make the play.
Right.
Who's going to make the play for my team? Who's going to be the guy that sets the tone for our defense? And for the Michigan Wolverines, it was Maurice Hurst. People were waiting for him to make the play, him to make the call, him to change the defensive stratagem. Right. So when you have that kind of player coming in and falling to you in the later rounds, that's not only a steal for you, but the Oakland Raiders are in desperate need of a charismatic player who can lead this defense.
Well, and look at the position that they have. You know, we talked about it earlier. The Oakland Raiders needed to address this position. They haven't had a good D tackle in a long time, and getting Maurice Hurst here, I think I'm comfortable with saying for the both of us that this is probably. Could be the steal of the draft.
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, you look at what some of the other analysts out there are saying. They believe I haven't seen anybody say they don't believe Maurice Hurst is going to not make an impact. Everybody is saying he's going to make an immediate impact for his team. And I have to agree. I think whether it's from a leadership standpoint, whether the team just rallies around him because he's got such a good character, he's got
right.
such a good humor about him. His teammates loved him at Michigan. John Gruden saw something in him. He saw that charisma. He saw that leadership capability, but he saw the talent.
Right.
And John Gruden would know. He's a guy that knows a little something about evaluating talent.
Sure, sure.
So I have to say, I think Maurice Hurst not only makes an immediate impact for this team, I think the culture in Oakland is going to see a change, and he's going to be part of that culture change.
Big D did some good draft grades today. So I think the New Orleans Saints, I think I'm going to give them a B-. I think they did okay. The Oakland Raiders, it seems like they did very well. I think I'm going to give them a B+. I think I'm excited to see what the Raiders do.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree. I think the thing that really, really for the Saints that I would have liked to have seen, add a little bit of help in their secondary.
Right.
We didn't really see them address that issue. And you look at the division that they're in, I mean, you got to be able to stop the pass.
Sure.
And, you know, the injuries that they had, the inconsistencies on the back end, that was really the only weak spot of the New Orleans Saints a season
right.
ago was they struggled to bat down passes and get there. I mean, if their defensive line didn't get the stop, I mean, they were hard-pressed to stop people from throwing it down the field. So
right.
that's the only thing that really keeps me from giving the Saints that better grade. I give them a B-. Before the Raiders, I think the Raiders, I'm going to give them an A-.
You're up at it.
I'm going to up it. I'm going to give the Raiders an A-. They went into this draft with a clear plan of we have got to change the culture in our locker room, and we've got to add players that are not only going to bring good character to the team, but are going to be able to contribute right away.
Right.
You look at the two offensive linemen. Those guys, they should be starters
right.
on this offensive line. You look at the Raiders' offensive line. It was not good a season ago. These guys are probably going to instantly be competing for starting jobs. And that's what you want when you're drafting. You want to be able to get somebody that can contribute immediately to your team. And I think the Raiders did that.
Yeah. Next week, Big D, we're going to be doing draft grades on the LA Chargers, who, you know, we actually interviewed their first-round pick. We
yeah.
won't say who it is, but we did do an interview with them. And we're going to be doing your team, Big D, the Green Bay Packers.
I know it.
You ready? No, you're not ready.
No.
You're not ready.
Not ready.
Oh, man. Anyways, guys, next week we will see you guys live 9 a.m. sharp, as always. Thank you for tuning in. Draft Grades, NFL Buzz, possibly an exclusive. We'll get with you guys on that later on this week. But thank you for tuning in. See you next week.